live from the Poly Market Studio in L.A. It's the Young Turks. Welcome to the All Mediterranean Power Panel, Jane Huger, John Arorola, and Francesca Fiorentini.
It's very Dracula, Jank. That was and Francesca Fiorentini.
And there it is. Okay, yes, I agree. I think John and I were talking about how accents change from one to another. And mine usually wind up as Indian, but glad to see I've got Count Dracula in my repertoire here.
Unfortunately, you've got it stored in the Italian box, but we'll work on it.
Yeah, yes, I do.
Okay. I'll take it.
Anyways, all right, big show, fun show ahead for you guys. And we got a fun panelist for you guys in hour two too. Roland Martin's gonna join us, and we got a fun announcement about that too.
But it, what?
But everybody remember Francesca's podcast is the Bituation Room. It's a Sundays at 8 p.m. Eastern, so make sure you're checking that out. Okay. All right, John, tell us what the Bituation is today.
Okay. Well, we've got a couple of them to discuss, so let's launch right into it. More bad news for Congressman Matt Gaetz coming out of an exclusive report from the Daily Beast having to do with his longtime political ally and I guess party bud, Joel Greenberg, who apparently wrote a confession letter about all of his crimes, or well, probably some of them knowing Joel Greenberg, but some of them that was going to be used to get Donald Trump to give him a pardon in the closing days of his presidency. Unfortunately for Congressman Gaetz, it also lists quite a bit of the stuff Congressman Gaetz was getting up to. So we have this confession letter. Importantly, it recognizes that Matt Gaetz did pay for sex with multiple women, as well as a girl who was 17 at the time. The letter, which was written after Greenberg, who was at that point under federal indictment, asked Roger Stone to help him secure a pardon from then President Donald Trump. So a big pot filled with really great people. Now, in addition to the confession letter, which we're gonna give you some excerpts from, we also have a series of text messages between Joel Greenberg and Roger Stone. Now, Roger Stone was apparently deleting the text messages as this conversation was going on, but Joel Greenberg was taking screenshots. So there's a great deal of trust and respect in this entire endeavor. So let me give you a little bit of each of those different buckets. In the confession letter, he writes, on more than one occasion, this individual was involved in sexual activities with several of the other girls, the congressman from Florida's 1st congressional district, and myself. So there he's writing about the 17-year-old, specifically saying that he, Joel Greenberg, had sex with her when she was 17, and Matt Gaetz did as well. He also talks about payments, saying, from time to time, gas money or gifts, rent or partial tuition payments were made to several of these girls, including the individual who was not yet 18. I did see the acts occur firsthand, and Venmo transactions, Cash App, or other payments were made to these girls on behalf of the congressman. So that's in the confession letter. There's more there too, including an acknowledgement that they apparently thought that the 17-year-old was 19. They later found out she was 17, became frustrated or angry, and called off continuing the deal with her until she turned 18, in which case they then began having sex with her for money again. So obviously they were quite contrite about the experience. So we have more from the text messages, but just based off of the confession letter, what do both of you think about how this reflects on Greenberg and Gaetz?
Yeah, so first important detail there about the thing that John mentioned at the end. So when they find out that she's 17, now you could say, hey, okay, they apparently didn't know she was 17, according to these guys, Greenberg's informal confessions, right? Mm-hmm. They thought she was 19. Well, so what is his reaction? The first thing he does is he calls her up and yells at her and says, you might have gotten all of us in trouble, how dare you? And then he says, we're not gonna talk to you again until you're 18. And then afterwards, call us, we'll pay you for sex again. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wow.
That's a moral code right there. That's what that is.
Okay.
That's a winner. Yes. This guy, absolutely. Going after college girls. Because that's the other thing is like them obviously reaching out to college age women, which is just loser crap. That is straight loser crap. We all know that. I wish I could swear on this program. I'm sorry to interrupt, Cenk, but I just got to say, this story makes me want to laugh forever. Like, I literally want to laugh. Like, you idiot. Why? Maybe don't write things down when you're under indictment. All the things. And apparently, it was like 8 to 10 pages. And Roger Stone's like, oh, no, keep writing. We want all the details. And he didn't get the pardon. Like, the juiciness of this story. It doesn't end, you guys. It is the ripest watermelon. I'm excited to eat it all.
Yeah, I want to build on that, too, because I want you to understand that the confession that Roger Stone asked him to write is totally needless. It's gratuitous. I think Stone asked him to write it just in case to have leverage over him later, right?
Perhaps.
It maybe turns it into blackmail later, etc. But because I want you to understand the pardon process. Normally, the way the pardon process works is you already have to be convicted, you have to apply, you have to show that you're contrite, and you have to go through this very detailed process. And then it goes through a certain process within the government until it percolates up to the president. So that was all pre-Trump. Trump's pardon process was, who wants pardon? Who wants pardon? 100,000, 200,000. No, I don't, look, whether he was actually literally charging money or not, he didn't follow any of the process. Mm-hmm. So an admission of guilt was totally not necessary, let alone an 8-page confession. Stone was at a minimum trolling Greenberg. And at a maximum, trying to find a way to make money off this one way or another. But they didn't need that confession at all for the pardon.
Yeah.
And so he has him write this thing, and it's damning, man. It is damning. 8 ways to Sunday. And so now I think, like Gates says, oh my God, I'm targeted because the deep spin, blah, blah, blah. Nah, man, the way that this came up, just this is really important for you to understand. Because sometimes, we talked about this in a previous show, whether it's someone on the left wing or right wing, and it does happen to left wingers. In fact, it happens often to left wingers. The press will decide, we're gonna dig, okay? And for left wingers, sometimes it's the right wing press, sometimes it's the mainstream media. For the right wing, it's usually the mainstream media. And so they dig, right? And then they wind up finding things out, okay? And sometimes it's a right wing operation like Elliot Spitzer. And Roger Stone might or might not have been involved in that operation where they decide this guy's causing trouble for people on Wall Street. Let's dig, let's see if we find something. And it turns out, by the way, if you dig on powerful men, almost every one of them is having sex with hookers. I'll preview, spoiler alert, apparently that's the case. Because whenever you dig, you instantly find hookers, okay? So now in this case, that is not the situation, okay? Because the way that all this unravels is because Greenberg is a random tax solicitor in Florida, a state official, and his credit card's blowing up. And it draws the attention of the local officials, like, why is this random tiny little position charging so much on his credit cards? What the hell is going on here? And it turns out he was partly paying for the hookers through the credit cards. Okay, so they start with financial impropriety. Then once they start digging into Greenberg, having no idea about Matt Gaetz or anything else, they're like, oh my God, there's Venmo accounts showing them paying for prostitutes with the prostitutes' names on them. Okay, and then
barely no attempt to cover.
Yeah, it turns out the 17-year-old is the one Matt Gaetz wrote down her name. Oh, give this for her. Oh my God, you moron of morons, to Francesca's point.
To take them down requires the shallowest state ever. The amount, like, you don't have to worry about the deep state, dude. You are not clever enough to merit it.
Yeah.
You mean Florida? Is that the shallowest state? I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. Just playing Florida. Yeah. Love you. In fact, I mean, this is really important to point out, like, the layers of creep. And also something we've talked about on the damage report a lot, John, is that, look, there is a good chance, I know we're going to keep talking about it, but that, like, the voters in Florida are going to reelect someone like, sure, Matt Gaetz, yeah, right? Maybe. That unless Democrats actually make a big enough deal about it, that this will just keep happening because, he's being canceled. He's being canceled. No, your credit cards are being canceled for maxing out on paying for college students.
Can I, to that end, one of the things that might help him to get reelected, let's just briefly acknowledge, I don't care too much about this, and we do have Roger Stone to get to, but like, this is the, I don't know, fifth update on this story, and maybe it's the most damning, other than maybe the Venmo payments story that came out, I believe, from the Daily Beast a couple of weeks ago. But now we have this. Fox News is not going to even pretend to care 1%. They don't have to. If this was Cuomo, it'd be the only thing that they talked about all day. But they don't need to even pretend to care about what's happening, because their audience desperately wants them to pretend that this isn't happening. And that is who they're doing the show for. CNN and MSNBC definitely protect politicians, but even they had to acknowledge what was going on with Cuomo. When Al Franken had his issues, they had to talk about it. They have preferences, and they'll definitely nudge things in the direction that benefits those that they care about, but they do have to pretend. Fox is so far beyond that. They're not going to acknowledge this any more than they acknowledge any of the other stories. As a congressman with, like, clear documentation, a confession from his political ally that he was trafficking underage girls, and they will be totally silent about it. And that just makes me feel sick that millions and millions and millions of Americans get their news from a news network that is at least as detached from any concern for journalistic ethics or reality as Breitbart or any of those fringe websites.
But John, it's actually worse than that, because Tucker Carlson did a segment the other day defending Matt Gaetz. Even after Matt Gaetz came on his show and threw Tucker Carlson under the bus. And he's like, oh, remember when we were having the double date with the girl? And Tucker's like, no, I don't remember. But no, it doesn't matter. He changed his tune because his audience probably loves Matt Gaetz. And so they're like, oh man, that was pedophile Democrats, yeah, probably having sex with underage girls in a basement of Comet Pizza. And you're like, every reporter's like, there is no basement at Comet Pizza. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's no evidence of any of that. Here on Matt Gaetz, there's overwhelming evidence. He wrote her name down in the Venmo account where he paid to have sex with her, right? They're like, no, we're gonna need more evidence than that. Okay, so we've lost 40% of the country. They just don't, well, I don't know what, that they don't care about facts. That seems to be a natural conclusion. But more importantly, to John's point, they're not getting the facts. Even if they cared about them, they're watching Fox News and reading Breitbart, etc. And none of them ever talk about Matt Gaetz other than to defend him. And Tucker on the show painted him, Matt Gaetz, as a brave, smart guy who was being targeted. Okay, so now, but and I had a right winger who believes in QAnon on the conversation, and he'd never heard of, like, 80% of the things that are happening in the world. And he's like, well, look, he said to me, like, well, if Black Lives Matter cared about, like, institutional racism in the judicial system, then I'd believe them a lot more, but they're just targeting cops. I'm like, what? Of course they care about institutional racism in the judicial system. He's like, I didn't see that on any of the places I read online. I'm like, oh no, they didn't. They don't have access to any accurate information at all. That's why John's point about Fox News is so important. They're not gonna cover the story. They're not gonna tell you he paid for a 17-year-old underage girl, and et cetera. Mm-hmm. And they're not gonna tell you that they wrote in the Venmo accounts while they're paying for the tuition.
Yeah. Okay. Or even, by the way, Greenberg alleges, because we don't know for sure that Greenberg is definitely did it, but credible reporting shows that a longtime ally, documented ally of Matt Gaetz, says that he did it. You have to cover that, at least that. You don't want it to say Matt Gaetz definitely did it. I understand that's sort of leaping to conclusions. We'll let the investigation discover. But to just totally hide this and to then have your audience believe that you are alone amongst all the media, the truth tellers, those damn libs are liars. It's absurd.
Yeah, and then the other thing that has got to be noted, that Roger Stone tried to get $250,000 out of Greenberg to get a pardon from Trump. When asked about it, he's like, no, I didn't. It's the text messages or this messages on the app Signal that apparently Greenberg screenshotted, even though they normally disappear, right? I can't imagine who the leaker could be other than Greenberg. Stone's not going to leak this. So
well, he had to create a good file against himself because he was told to. So he was just making sure he was documenting all of his crimes so he can get the pardon, because that's how he thinks it worked. I mean, I think the most interesting part about these leaks also is the way that Joel Greenberg is like, I don't know why MG, Matt Gaetz, is not defending me. Why is he not asking for a pardon from Trump? Trump loves him. He's like a son. Da, 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 da. And it is kind of curious that Matt Gaetz wasn't lobbying the president, or was he, right, for Joel? And according to Joel Greenberg, he didn't think that Matt was on his side. And so, of course, he's going to flip on him once actually the charges are brought against him. He's going to name Matt Gaetz if Matt Gaetz didn't try and get this pardon out of Trump. Who knows? I mean, again, it keeps going.
Well, let's just really bear in mind, although Matt Gaetz denies it, it was previously reported that he had asked for a pardon for himself, apparently lobbied in some way. Right. There's no evidence that he tried to do so for Joel Greenberg.
Yeah, because there's no honor among thieves or underage.
Or douchebags.
Right, people seeking underage girls and paying for them. But look, one more thing on Stone. The corruption in the Trump administration is so unbelievable. So to John's point about the shallow estate, their codes, as they're talking a Signal, they're using almost no codes. But Stone is trying to find a way to phrase it where he can have plausible deniability. Mm-hmm. So he says something like, you better get your $250,000 ready, because I feel good today about a pardon. I guess he thinks that's not saying, well, you're not paying me for the pardon. I'm just saying you should get your $250,000 ready. Mm-hmm. No.
There's a bet. It's a bet. It's not an exchange. It's a bet that he can't get him the pardon. That's
not technically
a bribe.
Is this just totally legal? Like if Stone, who notably got his own pardon, was actually soliciting money for a pardon for a president that he's a longtime associate with, is that just like, man, it sucks, but America, what are you gonna do? Is that just totally cool and he's innocent?
No, I imagine there's a law against bribery, including pardons. But does any law ever apply to right wingers? Does any law ever apply to Trump or any of his associates? Trump would just say, it was a perfect pardon. It was a perfect pardon. Okay, I got the money and then I gave him the pardon. That was perfect. I'm happy, he's happy. Okay, the only one not happy is the underage girl. Okay, but it was perfect. And 40% of the country will be like, it was a perfect pardon. And you know what?
But that's totally.
Yeah.
It's a legitimate question. I think it's one of those issues that the Trump administration, the silver lining was that everyone was like, oh yeah, wait, can you buy a pardon? And from what I remember, there was no broad agreement on whether or not it was legal. There clearly is a lot of lobbying that happens for presidential pardons when a term is at the end. That happens a lot, but whether or not, I assume someone pays an advocate or an attorney to do that, so there's money changing hands. But I don't think it was very clear, John. I don't think we emerged out of the Trump administration with a lot of knowledge. In fact, I think if anything, we learned more about the pardons that Obama and Bush and other presidents actually, you know, gave to clients who really did lobby hard for them.
Yeah, although, and final point, we should note, in the end, Greenberg didn't get the pardon. Trump did not give Matt Gaetz a pardon, which in hindsight looks like he would have totally gotten away with if he had done it, even if they said what it was that he did. But anyway, he didn't get them.
I just want to say one more thing about that. I don't know that Roger Stone was telling Greenberg the truth, because he might not have ever brought it up. He might have been just trying to scam the guy out of money, right? He is Roger Stone. But if he's telling the truth in those secret messages, he claims the White House counsel, Cipollone, is the one that blocked the Greenberg pardon. And he's like, this damn guy. So if the White House counsel actually blocked his pardon because the guy was charged with sex trafficking of underage girls, and he blocked it because that's a terrible idea, and so that Roger Stone couldn't get paid to could get to pardon a sex trafficker, then congratulations to the White House counsel, who apparently, I mean, again, it's so shallow and the bar is so, so low, but apparently someone in the Trump White House cleared a bar. Congrats.
That's good to know. That is all the time we have this first block. But when we come back, Matt Gaetz is, it's not looking good for him. He's a little bit shaky, perhaps on the ropes, but he does have one ally who's about to enter the ring. We'll break that down after this.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
"You must unlearn what you have learned."
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
Quick minute, we just wanted to read a few of the comments that were coming in during that first segment with a member comment from John Campbell Rees, who says, "Yes, Francesca, Florida is the shallowest state. Its highest point, Britain Hill, is just 105 meters above sea level." I didn't know that. I'm not 100% sure it's true, but you do learn something every day. That's interesting. Gabby says, is the Greenberg Gates Stone case the same as the investigation into trading pardons for bribes that the FBI leaked they were conducting last year? Or could there be other cases of attempted bribery in Trump's final months? I have no idea, but I also guarantee there were other attempts to try trade money for pardons in the final months of the Trump administration. Wanted to welcome new YouTube members, Dig That Crazy Cat and Kenny Crucial. Thank you for becoming members. Let's see. Nicole Nowicki says, happy Friday, TYT fam. Can we discuss the Josh Duggar arrest for CP and his GOP connections, including Mike Huckabee and Ted Snooze? I assume at some point we will. I think it's a little bit too close to the show for us to have done it today, but at some point we will talk about it. Oh, and Rob Shively reminds me I need to show Cenk the Captain America shield he sent in. I think Cenk is really gonna like it. I'll show it during one of the breaks.
Oh, I love it.
But with that, we do have to get back to more news, so we'll see you after this.
TYT, Cenk, Francesca, and John with you guys. John's got more news for us.
We do. Okay. Really bad close of the week for Matt Gaetz, but this does provide an opportunity for politicians to show support for him, to sort of stand out as someone still loyal to Matt Gaetz, while simultaneously demonstrating to the country that their previous pretend positions about caring about saving children were complete BS. And thus, we've got Marjorie Greene, who tweeted out on Steve Bannon's War Room an announcement that she is going to be joining Matt Gaetz for a rally next Friday for her hashtag America First rally. As Brett pointed out on the Damage Report this morning, hashtag America First, not acceptable for caucuses just yet, but for rallies, I think we can make it work. And so not only is she going to be doing a rally with the guy that his associate just said had sex for money with a 17-year-old girl, she is also going to be hitting the road with him for a national America First tour. So that's going to be fun. But anyway, I just wanted to remind people before we launch into our commentary about this that originally Matt Gaetz had, I guess, three allies. He had Jim Jordan, a guy who has his whole past at Ohio State. You have Tucker Carlson, who apparently Cenk is telling me is a new protector of Matt Gaetz on his show, and apparently had dinner with him and some young girl. And now Marjorie Greene, a congressman who had previously said things like this back in November of 2017. Have you guys been following 4chan, Q, any of that stuff? Q is a patriot, we know that for sure. He is someone that very much loves his country and he's on the same page as us and he's very pro-Trump. She also shared an article back then saying, must read, Democratic Party involved with child sex, Satanism, and the occult. And she also talked at that point about the opportunity, the once in a lifetime opportunity right now to take this global, as she would say, cable of Satan worshiping pedophiles out. And I think we have the opportunity to do it. Oh, she also shared documents about Pizzagate because, of course, she believed in the Comet Pizza pedophile thing. So really, really, really worried about pedophilia and in particular about politicians sleeping with kids until she meets one and the whole thing turns topsy-turvy and now she wants to go on a trip with him.
Yeah, to be fair to Marjorie Taylor Greene, might have meant Pizzagate.
That's true.
So, you know, Matt Gaetz, Pizza Gaetz, you get confused a little bit. Mm-hmm. But once she found out, she's like, oh, you're the child sex trafficker. Oh, come on, let's go on a date. Okay, let's go touring around the country. This would be great. So we got Matt Gaetz, as obviously you all now know, 17 years old is fairly strong evidence. We'll see if he gets charged on it. That not only he had sex with her, he paid for her. They find out she's 17, they panic and they tell her to wait till she's 18. After she's 18, they go back to having sex with her. Okay, so real class acts, Gaetz and his buddies. But remember, it's not just Matt Gaetz. Jim Jordan is one of the best known conservatives in the House. Let me show you a headline about Jim Jordan. Ex-Ohio State wrestler says Representative Jim Jordan asked him to deny abuse allegations. Huh, what abuse allegations are those? Well, Jim Jordan was a wrestling coach when another member of the staff was alleged to have molested young boys on that team over and over again. An unreal number of allegations. And a huge number of those wrestlers came out many years later and said, yeah, Jim Jordan knew about it and he didn't do anything. We told him, and please do something, and he didn't do anything. That's interesting. So that's number two. And then let me read you another headline. Judge sentences serial child molester Hastert for 15 months. Now, if you're wondering, wait, who's Hastert? Oh, right, that's Dennis Hastert. Denny Hastert, who was the Speaker of the House for the Republicans. That was before Boehner. That was not very long ago at all, right? So their Speaker of the House was a child molester for the Republicans. One of the most right-wing guys that covered up for a child molester, Matt Gaetz, apparently, according to these allegations, slept with a 17-year-old, underage. And of course, then there's Donald Trump. Now, what did Donald Trump do? Now, he hung out with Jeffrey Epstein, went to his parties. Jeffrey Epstein, the worst child sex trafficker in American history, as far as we know. Trump has picture after picture hugging and kissing and hanging out with Epstein. And of course, Republicans are like, yeah, but towards the end, Trump didn't like Epstein as much. Well, towards the end, no one liked Epstein because the people found out who Epstein was, right? And Trump is on the record as saying, oh, Epstein likes the girls young. He knew.
He said it.
Okay, and then wait, it's okay. Epstein died in mysterious circumstances in jail, but they arrested his girlfriend who helped him procure the underage girls, Ghislaine Maxwell. So Trump's asked about it and he's gonna be furious because my God, Republicans do not like child sex traffickers. Mm-hmm. So let's find out what Trump said.
Do you feel that she's going to turn in powerful men? How do you see that working out?
I don't know. I haven't really been following it too much. I just wish her well, frankly. I've met her numerous times over the years, especially since I lived in Palm Beach, and I guess they lived in Palm Beach. But I wish her well.
I wish her well.
Wait, what do you mean, I guess they lived in Palm Beach? You just said you met her several times in Palm Beach. And you went to Epstein's house, you went to his parties. You know he lives in Palm Beach, you know she lives in Palm Beach. But look at that, imagine if Biden said, oh yeah, the worst child sex trafficker alive in the country, the co-conspirator of Jeffrey Epstein. I wish her well, man. Oh, I partied with her all the time, I wish her well. And then they say, okay, well, maybe he misheard us, that's insane. But how could he misheard? He said Palm Beach, it's her, right? So another reporter asked him a second time. Listen to what he said. Oh, we don't have that one? Okay, we'll put it in later. Okay, so two different times Trump says, oh, I wish her well. I wish her well. So now, maybe Q, and I said this the minute the Gaetz story broke, maybe Q was onto something. He just had the wrong party. Because there is one party in this country that I just proved to you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, is filled with people who are child molesters, child sex traffickers, and supported child sex traffickers. And it's the Republican Party.
And we're not even talking about like sexual assault or misconduct. You know, that is a whole broader category that the Republican Party has been very, very rife with as well, right? Like, let's just leave.
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your active ID more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
That aside, we're just talking about like kids and people underage. And out of Trump's mouth, saying that like that Epstein likes some young, out of Trump's mouth, the guy who would walk into Miss Universe pageants when like young women were changing, out of Trump's mouth, how young are we talking? Like that is, it's just so disgusting. Obviously, we all need to take a shower after this. Like, I just wanna say, is it possible that Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Greene are like, it's such a projection. Are they just gonna turn in to a satanic pedophilia cult of like weird baby eaters? Like, do they become that and then are like, no, we're not. This is not flesh. What do you mean? No, enough. What are you talking about?
So
like,
tender.
Why is there a diaper neck? Like, you know what I mean? Like, does it? It's so in your face that you're like, I'm pretty sure you're the cult. Mm-hmm. But of course, it is. And in a way, and this, I know this is not comforting because I watched that Q doc. I think we're all equally very, very frightened by QAnon, as the Republican Party is, right? Folks like Liz Cheney and others are afraid. But I do feel like in a way, don't you feel like it? They've lost the ideological battle so hard when it comes to whether like they're right wing, like business first, small government, you know, we're not fascist slash we're super fascist. Like they've lost the ideological argument that now they're going to these, again, demonic worship, satanic cults, everyone's a pedophile, because it's like the last card in their hand to try and win an, you know, any kind of political argument. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, if you're not gonna be able to or even try to win over people by acknowledging the struggles they face and offering solutions for them, this is a useful thing to use. And it's not the first time. Back during the 80s, they used the satanic panic quite successfully. This is just a digital version of that in some ways. But by the way, they can have all the Marjorie Greens and the Lauren Boberts running around talking about lasers and talking about, you know, kids in pizza basements and stuff like that. There will always be Mitch McConnells who will be getting tax cuts while they're in charge. But the issue, like, just really fast, let's acknowledge, has there ever been a worse movement in terms of actually caring about or doing anything about the thing that supposedly motivates them? That they're totally fine, the Q people, with their Q representative, Marjorie Greene, going on a fun buddy road trip with Matt Gaetz, who's facing these credible accusations of underage sex trafficking. And that is not evidence. Nothing convinces them of anything that's a problem, or Jim Jordan, as Cenk pointed out, any of that. And yet, like a month ago, when that ship got caught in the Suez Canal, its call sign was like what the Secret Service used to call Hillary Clinton. And so that convinced people online that the ship was transporting containers full of children. Like that's evidence that its call sign is like her thing. But his ally says he had sex with a 17-year-old. That doesn't mean anything. They don't care at all about actual kids.
Facts aren't facts unless you put them together through a sub Reddit and like drew across like a, you know, like a,
it's not
like
Dan
a spelling
Brownian
challenge
enough
or whatever. Like it has to be a Sudoku challenge for a fact to actually matter.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to end on this direct quote from Donald Trump. I've known Jeff, that's Jeffrey Epstein. I've known Jeff for 15 years. Terrific guy. He said he's a lot of fun to be with. It is even said that he likes beautiful women as much as I do, and many of them are on the younger side. That is a direct quote from Donald J. Trump. And you're telling me that you're worried about a pizza shop in Washington? You morons! The actual child molesters are on a tour with your favorite congresspeople. And some of your favorite congresspeople are the child molesters. Okay, so there's no hope for them. They have no sanity. They don't live on this planet mentally. They live on a different planet.
Well, I'm going to go take that shower that Francesca was alluding to. And when we come back, Rudy Giuliani attempts to offer, not really like a defense of himself, but a couple of political squirrels on Tucker Carlson's program. We'll show you that after this.
All right, back on the Young Turks. Bloody Knuckles has just become a Young Turk, so everybody be careful. So he just hit the join button below. I presume it's a he, but thank you, Bloody. We appreciate you being part of the Young Turks. The members make this show possible. And we do the show together. I'm going to go to a YouTube super chat here on somebody checking me. Dave Kayo said, love you, Cenk, but please don't use the word hooker to describe women involved in this story. So that's a fair point, especially the underage girl. It's usually manipulation, etc. And etc. Guys, number one, we do it on with no prompters, unscripted, etc. Number two, sometimes I lose track of the words that are allowed and not allowed. Okay, that word is probably not allowed at all. I don't know, but prostitute. Okay, for the ones that were above age. But we're trying to do the right thing. Thank you for being on our team and trying to help us do that. Okay, and now I want to go to Twitch. El Etoile gave 1,000 bits, so thank you. We appreciate it. AJ Duenas, because it's every day, gifted 5 subs, and so did Obi Mom Kenobi, and so did Brandy Lou. AJ and Obi Mom, I see pretty much every day. Thank you guys. TYT Wawn. Wom, I don't know how to pronounce that. How do you pronounce W-A-W-N?
Wawn.
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 That's tough, man. That's super tough. Okay, interesting. Anyway, Reese Wawn. Anyway, resub for my 3rd month. They said, go Bezos Bucks, LOL. We just LOL right now.
Yeah, there you go.
So thank you. And Asimov's Prophet writes in, I've been waiting all week for an epic drop in. I hope I delivered. That was earlier. We'll have another one for the next hour when Roland Martin is on. Blood Raven, a lot of blood today, writes in, glad to be able to support TYT on someone else's bucks. Love everyone there and thanks for all your hard work. And of course, if you have Amazon Prime, it's free for you if you sub to us on Twitch. And we still get the revenue. If you want to find out how, tyt.com/prime. It's super easy, just takes a minute. And Barbarella wrote in and gifted a sub. 6 months in, gifted a sub to keep the addiction alive. Cheers, TYT peeps. Well, nice. We appreciate that as well. And Nug Huffer, interesting name, says thank you all for being you. Lots of fun names today. Nug Huffer. Okay. Nonstop No No. That's another interesting name. With us for 6 months. We appreciate it, Twitch. You guys are awesome. Everybody on Twitch. And we got so much more coming up. Old School's live now on Mondays at 10 o'clock Eastern. Back on TYT, Cenk, John, and Francesca with you guys. John's got more news for us.
I do. It wasn't that long ago that Rudy Giuliani was apparently raided in an investigation of his activities involving the Ukraine scandal. He's been mostly silent since that, but he did go on Tucker Carlson's program to offer up a defense, sort of. But let's go to a little bit of what he had to say about the investigation and what he thinks the investigators should really be looking into.
Tell us what happened yesterday.
Well, about 6 o'clock in the morning, there was a big bang, bang, bang on the door. And outside were seven FBI agents with a warrant for electronics. And I looked at the warrant and I said, you know, this is extraordinary because I've offered to give these to the government and talk it over with the government for 2 years. I don't know why they have to do this. The agents seemed somewhat apologetic, I might say. They were very, very professional and very gentlemanly. The only time they got perturbed is at the end of the surge, when they had taken about, I'd say, 7 or 8 electronic items of mine, which is what they took, and 2 of someone else's. They weren't taking the 3 hard drives, which of course are electronic devices. They just mimic the computer. I said, well, don't you want these? And they said, what are they? I said, those are Hunter Biden's hard drives. And they said, no.
Yeah, they freaked out at the possibility of it. Anyway, look, you're being raided, okay? It's not like, oh good, I finally got a meeting with these investigators. I can hand off this project I've been looking into. But he went on Tucker Carlson to be able to rant and rave about whatever he wants. And knowing that Tucker Carlson is going to do everything he can to defend him, even as it gets increasingly weird, which we'll get to, and allow him to engage in these insane diversions, like, oh no, this isn't about me and all the things I did. This is somehow going to be about Hunter Biden. And while I was surprised that they even acknowledged Rudy Giuliani's issues on Fox News, this explains why, because they're going to find another way to make this about Hunter Biden, because they feel like talking about that in some way will hurt Joe Biden.
Well, there's a haunting similarity here. When they raided Jeffrey Dahmer's house, he said, I have Chelsea Clinton's notebooks. I have her notebooks. Do you want them? You don't? Oh, you want? No, you want the severed head in the freezer. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I love that. It'd be like, oh, thank God you're here. Oh, I've been trying to call. Here you go. But like, he's so offended they didn't take them. Like, it's very like, you know, someone refusing a Tupperware of baked ziti, like, come on, it's great.
No.
Which in this case, I'm not sure they weren't just 3 Tupperwares of baked ziti that Rudy Giuliani tried to give to the feds. Like, these are hard drives. Like, no, they're not, sir. Mm-hmm. That's not Hunter Biden. That's marinara. Like, at this point.
But I don't know if he thinks that the justice system works on the, we just came for one crime, we'll take whichever one you've got. Or if he is like, no, he's really convinced that Hunter Biden is the worst person in America. And he doesn't even mind going down. He just wants to make sure that he can drag Hunter Biden down with him. I don't know. I don't know if this is just a convenient diversion or if he really, he really wants to get that guy for some reason.
But John, I mean, you're asking a question I haven't been able to answer in the last couple of years here, which I seriously ask, have all of these people lost their minds? I actually think there's a decent chance that Rudy Giuliani and Trump and several other Republicans have dementia. And they're walking around and people are, people like Roseanne Barr. I don't know that. Damn it, Jim, I'm not a doctor, I'm a talk show host. Okay, so I don't know that Roseanne Barr is mentally incapable. She certainly sounds like it, right? Almost all of them, Ted Nugent, with all their little stars, their big stars, they sound like they literally have mental health problems. And the right wing voters, 40% of this country, look at it and go, oh, that guy, that sounds totally unhinged. That's my boy.
Yeah, they like Lynn Wood. They like the pillow dude.
Lynn Wood said the other day that Trump is still in the office. And they're like, oh yeah, totally. Yeah, no, man, Biden, I'm surprised he didn't do the Scooby-Doo thing and reveal that he was Trump. But then why did he have all those progressive proposals? And why do they hate him? Yeah. Like, none of it makes any sense. They're following literal lunatics.
They are. Okay, I want to go to a little bit more. As I alluded to, it is going to get increasingly weird in Rudy Giuliani's attempt to explain himself. So let's watch a bit more.
They also were completely content to rely on my word that these were Hunter Biden's hard drives. I mean, they could have been Donald Trump's. They could have been Vladimir Putin's. They could have been anybody's. But they relied on me, the man who had to be raided in the morning, because I'm going to destroy the evidence. I've known about this for 2 years, Tucker. I could have destroyed the evidence years ago. I didn't destroy the evidence because the evidence is exculpatory. It proves that the president and I and all of us are innocent. They're the ones who are committing. It's like projection. They're committing the crimes. Yeah.
Okay, so that was a little bit weird because I guess he didn't want to keep going on with the line that he was doing. So he implied that Tucker was interrupting him, but Tucker had not cracked from his look the entire time. It was just a dead set look, no noise. I guess if I was Rudy Giuliani, I would be trying to stop Rudy Giuliani from speaking too.
Yeah, so first of all, that was a good Tucker face, John, so I'll give you that.
I wish that it wasn't possible.
Okay. Secondly, that was the one time that Tucker's confused face made sense.
Yeah.
Right. So wait, was it Putin's?
Right?
Why would you bring that up? And he's like, I could have destroyed the evidence 2 years ago when I first found out. I mean, that would have been the smart thing. And then he like changed. I mean, of course I didn't. Of course I'd be wrong. Dude, you used to be not only a lawyer, but one of the top prosecutors in the country. Why are you telling people about how you could have destroyed evidence on national television? You moron of morons, right? And by the way, Rudy, under your logic of like, oh, they're trusting me that it was Hunter Biden's hard drive and they're not even taking it. Maybe it was my hard drive. Or maybe, remember, they're raiding a criminal's apartment. That's what you are, Rudy. They raided you. They don't raid non-criminals' apartments. They have very credible allegations that the former president's top ally and lawyer is a severe enough criminal that they raided his home. Mm. So I don't think that's a situation where the criminal gets to tell them, hey, why don't you take that hard drive too? See how it turns out for you, right? Yeah. I mean, if you're the FBI, normally when you raid somebody's house, let's say it's a drug dealer or something, you don't go, oh, he told me to take that. Why don't I just take it? Maybe it's a bomb, right? Maybe you want to come back and figure out what the hell it is. So none of anything that Rudy is saying makes sense, but of course you all already knew that because you don't watch Fox News.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a little bit like Rudy Giuliani's, like Hunter Biden's tapes and hard drives to Rudy Giuliani is a little bit like the ring to Gollum. You know, it's like got this hold on him, but he's like really, he wants to keep it, but he actually just wants to be relieved of these hard drives. But nobody wants it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. They've got a spell on him. Maybe if they took it and they like looked at it, it would just be like, hello, this is Rudy Giuliani. Help. Help me.
Do you think
I can't take care of myself? I have not eaten a warm meal in 5 months.
Just a raw wriggly fish.
The thing leaking down my face was not hair dye. Help, H-E-L-P, help.
I just can't wait until like, I don't know, maybe right before the midterms, he ends up biting Merrick Garland's finger off. Like this, politics is gonna get exciting, I think. Anyway, okay, we are rapidly running out of time. So why don't we turn to some other news, including some at least arguably good news. We will see, we're trusting official sources, but let's jump into this next story. According to President Joe Biden, the situation at the border has been improving, especially from the perspective of the children being held in absolutely horrendous conditions there. I want to show you a bit of his interview recently with NBC's Craig Melvin. Here he is talking about the situation.
There are 22,000 unaccompanied children in our country right now. That's a record. That sounds to most folks like a crisis.
Well, look, it's way down now. We've now gotten control.
Okay, so the overall number of 22,000 is not way down. That is still roughly true. But in terms of children being held in the sorts of facilities that thankfully the media has actually acknowledged over the past few months, that number is down. In fact, it's dropped by about 84% in the span of 1 month, which is a massive change. According to a White House official, bear that in mind. Additionally, as of Wednesday, there were 954 children in these CBP facilities, down from a peak of close to 6,000 at the end of last month. And the average time that kids are staying in custody is down to 28 hours compared to 133 hours back on March 28th. That is a nearly 80% reduction as well. So again, this is relying on official sources. And I can't honestly say what sort of constant access reporters have to these facilities, but it is a big claim to make if there's nothing that it's founded on. And so according to them, it looks like they have responded to pressure. They have spooled up some sort of resources to alleviate the situation, and it is much better than it was.
You know, I have a different point on this, which is that mainstream media here taking the bait, and we're talking about the so-called border crisis, right? Now, we have a massive healthcare crisis in this country. Here, let me give you just one stat. 45,000 people die every single year, irrespective of coronavirus. This is pre-coronavirus. 45,000 people die every year because they don't have health insurance. Mm-hmm. Now, do the immigrants crossing the border kill 45,000 Americans every year? No. I mean, that's not even it's not even within the realm of comparison. It's and so that's an actual crisis. But mainstream media thinks, who cares? Because the right wing didn't make it a point. So and the left wing is invisible. So I can name you 12 crises that are infinitely worse than the so-called crisis at the border. But to be fair to the media, look, progressives in the House, etc., and in the Senate, they got to stand up. If the right wing goes border, and they go, Ted Cruz goes down there, does his survivor like tapes there, they do fake illegal border crossings, they have CNN fall for it and show it, and they do like media tours, etc. And then when it comes to losing the $15 minimum wage, that's a crisis of 27 million people living at poverty levels, right? That's something that actually happens. That's actually their wages. They make 15,000 a year after working every single day, Monday through Friday for a whole year, right? But the left wing makes no deal out of it, no big deal at all. So when Biden is in front of the cameras, they don't ask him about any progressive things. All they do is ask him about the manufactured crisis of the right wing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's really important to point out the stats around how much crime undocumented immigrants are actually responsible for. And it is vastly below percentage-wise what Americans and people with citizenship are responsible for. So obviously we have to point out that kind of fear-mongering and hypocrisy. And look, I think it's great if the stats can be relied upon, that there is a process for moving unaccompanied minors more quickly out of detention in facilities that they should not be in the first place. But for whatever reason, whether it's COVID or whether it's making sure that they locate a family member within the United States, like that is good. Obviously, one thing that immigrant rights organizations are asking for is for a halt to deportations. Under Biden, there's been 300,000 deportations thus far. Obviously, using like a COVID emergency package, pandemic emergency policy in order to deport more and more people to very unsafe regions that we've talked about before on TYT. But I think one thing that is heartening to see coming out of Biden is a little bit of the rhetoric. Because what I see when I see the media sort of like, what are you doing about it? What's going on? Like, tell us. Is it the same thing they do when they ratchet up for war, which is they want like the iron fist, the strong macho, we're gonna reject everybody. We're gonna separate even more kids. We're gonna build a bigger wall. And Biden, I think, when the media, no matter what side, the left and the right, I mean, there's no left media, we are the left media, but you know, the liberals and the right are like, well, there's more people coming because maybe they think that you're more amenable to them. And he started to turn that and say, I'm I'm not ashamed of that. I'm not ashamed that my administration and the United States is maybe a more humane place to seek refuge than it was just months ago. So I think that's a huge page turn when it comes to our usual rhetoric around immigration.
Okay, now let me give Biden two pieces of quick credit here. Number one, look, this is less credit than just being fair to him. So he did inherit a mess from Donald Trump. That actually is true. And so moving those kids into places where they could be treated in a humane way, well, it does take some time. So, you know, look, I give him no quarter on killing the $15 minimum wage, which he did happily, that no one else reports, and it drives me crazy. So I got no bias in favor of Biden at all. But it does take time to move those kids. And so we have to be fair to him in terms of how quickly he can do that. Now, the credit is he actually has a new thing where he is telling those Central American countries, we will process folks in your country. So don't have the kids come for thousands of miles because it endangers their lives. That might be a brilliant idea. That's the first I've heard of that. Mm-hmm. And that's really interesting. So if he can execute that, that would be an amazing plan.
Yeah, especially because, like, what's weird is we have to integrate multiple different things, some of which are accurate and some of which are not simultaneously. So people are freaking out. A lot of it is just being driven by right wingers wanting to do cosplay of Rambo riding around in boats with machine guns and stuff like that. They don't care about what's actually going on. Which is what's so frustrating about this is that they want to talk about a crisis at the border. Most of what they're talking about isn't accurate and they don't actually care. But there was actually a crisis, and that was that thousands of kids are being held in conditions they should never be held in. So, but they don't care about that part. And most of, like, Biden does have some seemingly better motivations and perhaps better ideas, as you just acknowledged. That said, he's also continued quite a few of the policies of the Trump administration. So this is not an area where he doesn't deserve any criticism or that we should extend tons of goodwill to him, because it doesn't appear that he totally deserves it. Now, they have improved the condition for the kids, which is something that Trump took a very long time to do, and the conditions got worse because he wanted them to. So that is better. But I don't know, it's frustrating when they make up a crisis from nothing, like that Dr. Seuss is a crisis, that is terrible. But when they make it up around something where there is actually work that needs to be done, that bothers me more. Because it sort of trains the media, like, to focus on a topic, to focus attention and effort on a topic, but to not acknowledge the actual human suffering that's going on. In this case, I feel like they did at least see the kids. They did seem to care about them. Craig Melvin was asking about the kids, so that's good. But I don't know. Yeah, it's just frustrating that he can potentially be manipulated. The media can potentially be manipulated by these people who fundamentally don't care about the things they're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know that Craig Melvin was asking about the kids in a way that was like, it seemed like he was asking more about, oh, there's too many immigrants coming in. Aren't you going to do anything about it?
Totally.
Right, Francesca?
Yeah, no, I didn't get a lot of empathy from him. It was more like, what are you doing about these, you know, non-subhuman people? Like, eh, whatever, they don't have names. Like, it's, you know, there wasn't a, how are they being treated? Are they okay? You know, like, have you talked to them? Have you called? I mean, that's an interesting question. Have you met with some of these kids? And I guess I just want to say, look, we talked about the QAnon stuff and, you know, child abuse. There is rampant and documented child abuse within Customs and Border Patrol. And if there is one place to defund, it's CBP. Like, they have far too much money, one of the amount of money out of any like federal agency, and they haven't been doing their jobs. They've been brutalizing people. They're not helping them. And so I would like to see Biden actually vastly ramp down the amount of money that they get.
Okay. All right. So everybody check out Francesca's podcast, Situation Room, at Sundays at 8 p.m. Eastern. And coming up next, J.R. Jackson and Roland Martin. So hang on to your hats. This is going to be an awesome ride. We'll be right back. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.